Let's start our second session on the. Let's now focus even more on the European Commission and its efforts on the direction of open source. So we have two experts from the OSPO here to tell us a little bit what has been done. And again, let's try to remember to look up the future. Let's see how everything has been done, what we can learn from it. And let's also try to bring up new ideas on how we can make this work. So all yours.
Thank you very much. We also have stickers. I think that's important. Please pick them as you leave the room. When you walk away thinking, oh, this is not going where we wanted to go, there's a flyer. And outside, you already saw, we have a roll-up to make a bit of advertisement for the OSPO. So, Gijs Hellenius, I'm Dutch.
Saranjit Arora, I'm confused. Indian originally, but have been in the UK for 40 years, and Belgium for the last six.
And the two of us will try to do a stand-up comedy show that will tell you a little bit and bring you up to speed on what happens in open source in and around the Commission. We've been here already for quite a few hours, and you've heard a lot about the policy developments. The OSPO was started 3 years ago to remove legal and organizational barriers so that the Commission could become faster at doing and sharing open source. And what this first slide, our staircase diagram, should show you is that we've been in open source forever. He's right behind the camera now. He's one of those who worked at the Commission and kickstarted what now is the Apache project. That's before this timeline started. And the Commission has always used open source in the infrastructure right from the start. And I spoke to the people who installed the first LAMP stack saying, okay, so that's where we kept notes on which server was doing what and what the passwords were and who was doing things. And so we could transfer it when we rotated around the organization. And pretty soon, other DGs, because Saranjit and I are talking from the DIGIT, the Directorate General for Informatics, that's doing like an internal service provider. Pretty soon other services, the ones who are doing policy or putting things in place, were calling DIGIT saying, I need a server for, I have a pesticide database system, it ran on a LAMP stack. And so this the second layer, the use thing, that really exploded quite fast. And so in our data centers, I think the numbers are 60-70% these days are Linux machines, replacing other Unix types, by the way. And then around 2003-2006, in our Directorate General, people started realizing we need to work with the member states because this stuff is reusable. It's going to save us pots and pots of money. And the interoperability program was started that led to the Interoperable Act. this is not the only slide, but it is the most important slide for the overview. And I've been trying to observe this change in the Commission ever since 2007, when I started writing for the European Commission on the Open Source Observatory. And so I've seen it going on this path. And I helped, the Commission asked if I could help revamp the open source strategy. And so in 2020, we announced a strategy, an open source strategy that came with 10 action plans. And they are in the strategy. The strategy is open. It's out there. Except that we never gave the details that was far too much. But the shopping list was like this. And first, being recursive, start yourself. Set up an open source program office. That was really quite easy. But the two big barriers we had was that the Commission had a big problem in making its software available as open source, because we had a red tape process that would take 6 months of just a project person chasing signatures to get permission to make the software available as open source. And in the room we have one of the IP specialists who helped us a great deal with removing this barrier. We now have, the default is, if you want to share your software, it is open source. If you want to share it as proprietary, you go into this paperwork process that will take you 6 months, which means no project will do this, because we don't have time. No development project has a project developer that can spend 10 minutes every Friday afternoon chasing signatures. But now, when the project team says, this is a useful solution, it shares as open source. That came with code.europa.eu, because we needed a place to share our software repository, share our software. And the other big thing is that we moved our internal teams to sharing software amongst themselves. Previously, when you created a project on your internal repository, it was close to you and your team, which means that I, as an external, not in that team, could not see what the code was. I didn't have access, only saw the name. And you could find, with a bit of luck, the project owner, and you could ask for permission to see the code. We've changed this default, and we already see the rewards, because teams are now starting to reuse each other's work. Not so much literally the code, but they're starting to build on each other's preparations. Open sourcing, I talked about it already. We have 400 projects, 2,000 users. It's growing. You're all welcome at code.europa.eu. It's GitLab-based. You'll need EU login, but that's just a small step. The legal barrier was removed. I talked about that. We have labs, an important way to onboard new open source tools to our users. So people from other services can come to us and say, we would like to experiment with Hedgehog, for example. Well, now we can do that. Here are the ones we're currently running: Jitsi, OpenTalk, Hedgehog, CryptPad, Discourse. And we're always looking for others. Outreach is what we're doing here and in other places. We successfully integrated open source in our IT governance projects, which means that when a new project is proposed, we are asking questions about open source. So we are forcing projects to, from the start, compare and look on the market to see if there's an open source alternative for their proprietary product, and if they are willing to share whatever they're doing as code. And I will hand over to Saranjit for the important pilot and preparatory action.
Thank you. So, I joined, as I said, 6 years ago on this project, EU Fossa 2. So we have this cycle where we start some initiative. The European Parliament gives us some money, and we start what's called a pilot project. If that's successful, we move on to what's called a preparatory action project. So hence the number two after the initiative. And in the EU Fossa 2 initiative, we actually created an inventory of our open source. We didn't have one. Not ashamed of that, because I don't think many organizations have one even today. And it's a fast-moving, changing scenario. And then from that software inventory, we were able to identify which was our most important software.
And then we decided to run bug bounties and hackathons to improve the security. So a lot of things were done under EU FOSSA, many for the first time, like bug bounties and hackathons. And then we thought, why aren't we not doing this on a European scale? Really, we need to cooperate on open source and bridge these islands that exist. And actually, it's the right time because open source has matured to a very high degree in many member states. So it makes sense to cooperate and on a number of areas. So basically, in terms of specific initiatives, so FOSSEPS is about FOSS for European Public Services. And it's about cooperation. Now, breaking that down into specific work packages, one of them is to create a catalog of solutions. So the French government, the Italian government, all the member states have built wonderful open source systems, solutions. Why are we not reusing them? Often we are not reusing them in our own countries, let alone across Europe. So giving visibility to solutions built by and for public administrations is a wonderful idea, and we've had great successes in national catalogs and regional catalogs, saving lots of money, time, and increasing interoperability. So FOSSEPS is going to, we already have an MVP, and we're going to expand it to many more member states, and hopefully we'll have a rich catalog which will save time and money.
Can I steal back?
Yeah, please.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because we're being flagged also for going over time in our own session. I just wanted to round off with one thing, is that we are trying to prove that we can reuse software. So the catalog system is actually thanks to the Italian government, Team Digitale, because we're starting to reuse their tool. And the standard, Publicoto Jamal, is also developed by them and others. And this is also something we're implementing. And there's the author. There we go. So thanks for that, and I think you should deserve the credit for this. And we are now in the process of launching our internal efforts to revamp the strategy once more. Because the staircase diagram, the first one, those were the internal strategies. The last one, the most recent one, was an external communicated internal strategy. And we're going into this process again. And so the next round here is where we would like to discuss with you, whether we would like to have ideas from you. We would like to know what else can we do as an OSPO. And I think the whole day so far has given us a lot of stuff to work with. But that's what we'll do in the next session, Lina.